Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And let us sing from Psalter 217. Stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy, visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
Before we read from Scripture, we will read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Leviticus chapter 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Deputer, who was in the hospital and was able to come home once again. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal and living God, before whom we appear in this morning hour in thy holy sanctuary, then it behooves us to acknowledge who that thou art in thy greatness, in thy majesty, in thy holiness, as our Maker, as our Creator, and also as our Judge, before whom that we have a great responsibility, and before whom we will all soon appear, then it behooves us also to acknowledge and to confess before thee, and when we appear before thee in thy holy sanctuary, all our sin, all our iniquity, all our guilt. For thou knowest the inmost recess of the heart of each and every one, young and old. And thou knowest that there is not one of us who is clean in thy holy sight. Oh, that thou may also open our eyes in this morning hour, for it must also become known unto us that we have departed from thee, and what we have become, and how that we do appear in thy holy sight. Shall it be well with us upon our journey? Lord, we can read it in thy holy word that it is the work of thy Holy Spirit to stop a man upon his way and to turn him again, to grant life in his soul from the dead, and to make him a living creature that hungers, that thirsts, that weeps, that mourns, that grieves for sin, that desires, that longs, that turns again, that is not able to go on anymore in the old way wherein he has gone all his life long. Oh, thou art able to stop a man. Thou art able to say thus far and no further. And thou art able to take him from that broad way and to bring him through that straight gate, that he may be led upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, this is what we stand in need of in this morning hour. Oh, we ask it of thee, Lord, who hast all the power in heaven and in earth, that we may experience something of that power in this morning hour. Oh, not only the power to preach, but especially the power that is able to arrest a wicked man, woman, boy, or girl. That power that is able to give a new life, that power that is able to give new hearts, that is able to give new affections, a new love. Oh, we are so helpless. We are lying in the midst of death. Thou knowest it. It is a way that we have chosen, and we will never turn from it, because it is the desire of our hearts by nature to seek all that is death, to seek all that is vain, to seek all that is passing away. O Lord, who shall stop us? Who shall make it different if thou doest it not? O, take reasons then out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy. We have come this morning in thy house. It is thy command, O Lord. But thou knowest that we come with so much iniquity. We come with so much sin because our heart is not right in thy sight. Oh, could it please thee then to make it right in this morning hour? May it be for the first time in our life. Oh, could it be also by renewal? Oh, thou knowest all the affliction of thy people. Thou knowest the path whereon that thou dost lead them, in all the trials and in all the afflictions. For if this is not their way, oh, then it is not thy way. Because thou wilt lead them with weeping and with supplications, wilt thou bring them, and thou wilt lead them so unto thyself. But thou knowest how that those tears of sorrow, they shall fill the springs of peace. Oh, that thou may give in the life of each and every one of thy own to experience something. Oh, may it be a little token of thy nearness, of thy presence, of thy goodness, of thy grace in this morning hour. Oh, take reasons out of thyself to give a life unto thy word, to give thy children open hearts and open eyes. Oh, that they may be given a moment in this day to look upon thee, as thou gavest thyself so freely to that way of suffering, in order that thou mayest pay the price which was owed from their side. Oh, take reasons out of thyself to give open ears and open eyes and an open heart, that it may attend unto the things that are spoken. And may it be thy own word. Lord, deliver thy people. Wilt thou look upon us in this day, thy holy day, and when thy word is to go forth in the preaching and the reading? Oh, then who is able to give an account of all the blessings that we receive day by day? Oh, that this day may not testify against us and against our dear children. Look upon our youth, upon our children. Their hearts are tender. Oh, give the tender fear of thy holy name in the days of their youth, that they may be given to seek thee while they are still young, that they may be kept from much sin. Oh, that thou would put thy wall and thy fence about our children, and that thou would spoil them for the world in all that thou bestowest upon them. Oh, give them a heart that yearns, that pants, that hungers and that thirsts for thee, the true and the living God. Look on all the afflicted and the sick ones, all that have handicaps, and all that suffer trials in this life. Remember him that was brought to the hospital. He may come home once again, but thou knowest the concerns, oh, that thou may look upon him and supply for all his needs and also for the needs of his wife. For the afflictions, they are multiplying. Oh, give to them together to experience something in this day of thy nearness, of thy presence, and of thy goodness. And wilt thou supply for the future, which we know not what lies before them, and before each and every one of us all together, because then many are taken in a moment's time. Wilt thou look on all those that mourn the losses of their loved ones, as we may hear also in our community that one has taken his own life. O Lord, the awful despair that Satan will bring a man into in order that he will take his own life. Oh, that thou may remember all that remain behind. And wilt thou teach us of the seriousness of our life, that we have a soul that goes to a great and never-ending eternity. Remember those also that are sick. Supply for them in their places. For they are many. Look upon our confession class that hopes to take their exam in the week to come. Lord, that thou may give what is necessary, that they may be able to appear before the consistory and to give evidence of all that they have learned. And may thou instruct them thereby in the need of their own soul. Wilt thou supply for all thy servants? Give this day a blessing where thy people may be gathered together in thy name, that thou wouldst do as thou hast promised to be in the midst of them, and that thou may look upon those that do go forth unto the ends of the world, also those upon our own mission field. When that mission board has met once again in the week that has gone by, and thou hast made all things thus far well, wilt thou prosper thy word also in that place, and also wherever it may be brought forth, to Jew and to Gentile, look upon us in this morning hour. Lord, thou knowest all our needs. And then we are called to bring thy word once again. Oh, thou knowest all our foolishness. Lord, take away what is of man, and give in its place what is from thee, and that there may be a word that is fit this morning for a needy soul. Oh, make us all together so. And wilt thou be in our midst in mercy as one that serveth for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws no man is justified. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter 389, the first three stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Leviticus chapter 16, and thereof the 33rd verse. Leviticus 16, verse 33. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. So far, the words of our text. The testimony of the great day of atonement. First, of the imperfection of the Old Testament sacrifices. And second, of the hope of the perfect sacrifice to come. The testimony of the great day of atonement. First, of the imperfection of the Old Testament sacrifices, and second, of the hope of the perfect sacrifice to come. Those 2 points, congregation, and we wish in this morning not to consider one after the other, as is our custom, but we wish to consider these 2 points side by side as we consider the meaning of this great day of atonement. We have heard of all of those sacrifices of the ceremonial law. And we have heard of the fruits, the blessed fruits of those sacrifices of the ceremonial law. Are you able, boys and girls, young people, to say now after all these weeks what those sacrifices are? When we have considered the suffering of the Lord Jesus as it was displayed in the Old Testament, how that he has suffered as a sin offering, and what that was for, and that it was to take away the guilt of the children of his people, that he has suffered also as the trespass offering, that he may take away the great debt that is owed because of sin. Then we have seen also the red heifer offering that was one of the special offerings, and that was in order that he may take away the pollution of sin. We have considered the whole burnt offering that was that he may take away all the defects in the dedication and that devotion that was owed by his people. And last, that was the peace offering. We said that that offering that has come at the end, always when they were together, then that peace offering that has come at the end after all of the other offerings. And that was speaking about the end, that was speaking about the purpose of all of those offerings, that it may bring a sinful man, a sinful woman, boy or girl, once again into that blessed communion with the Lord, that there may be peace. Or is there any desire that is now living in your heart, that you may also be a partaker of the fruits of all the sufferings of that blessed sacrifice. And we said that peace offering, that was the last one. And congregation, so is. And yet, there is an offering that followed. You say, how is that possible? And yet it is so. That was always the last, and yet there was an offering that was following all of the offerings of the children of Israel. How is that? Well, we have, of course, one Sabbath day that is given to us every 7 days. We may commemorate that on the first day of the week. That is an holy day of the Lord. That seventh day, and that is a special day because that was the day that the Lord did rest. And that number seven, that has a very special significance in the Word of God. But in the Old Testament, then there was not just one Sabbath day, but we read actually about a cycle of Sabbath days. Thus, there were more. Then we read not only about the seventh day, but we can also read about the seventh month. That was a special month. Then we can read also about the seventh year. That was a special year. And then if we multiply seven times seven, every 49th or the year following, that was the 50th year. That was also a very special year. That was the year of Jubilee. Thus, the Lord has instituted not one, but he has instituted a whole cycle of Sabbaths. The Day of Atonement, the great Day of Atonement, that was commemorated once every year. And that was actually at the end of the religious year of the children of Israel. So they had an agricultural year, but then they had also a religious year wherein they have commemorated their religious feasts. And at the very end of all of those religious feasts, then there was the great Day of Atonement. Thus, that was actually considered to be the greatest of their Sabbaths. That was the Sabbath of Sabbatism, the Sabbath of their Sabbath days. That was not actually a feast day. No, that was actually a fast day. That was the only fast day that the Lord has instituted for his people. That was the day of national humiliation. That was the day wherein the children of Israel, they had, we read, to afflict their souls. Sacrifices on that day, they were not brought by the ordinary priesthood. The sacrifices on this day, they were brought by the high priest. However, there was not one of all the children of Israel that was not included in this activity. And what activity was that? Well, that activity was the affliction of their souls. Thus, it was by this means that the Lord would have each and every one, boys and girls, to be included in what was now going to take place upon this Sabbath of Sabbaths. Who is it that has to do the work on the Sabbath day? You say that is now the work of the minister. He preaches on the Sabbath day, that is right. But congregation, are we also included in a labor of the Sabbath day? And that is there also an affliction of our souls that we also may be partakers of the benefit that may be coming unto God's children upon the Sabbath day? Thus it was. At the end of the year, at the end of their church year, that there was a multiplication of the sacrifices. Then Israel, they must commemorate a special day, this Sabbath of Sabbaths. There were special sacrifices on this day. And those sacrifices, they had a very special purpose. And in short, we can read of that purpose in the words of our text. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation. And for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests. And for all the people of the congregation. Thus, what does that mean? When at the end of the year, then there has to be a special Sabbath day wherein atonement has to be made? Well, then the Lord is saying something with this. And then the Lord is speaking about the shortness of everything that has transpired in that year that has gone by, in that tabernacle, in all the sacrifices, in all those offerings, that after all these have been brought day after day and week after week, that the Lord says there is still an atonement that needs to be made. And what needs to be atoned for? He says, the holy sanctuary, the tabernacle of the congregation, the altar. Thus, the holy sanctuary, then it is speaking about the holy of holies. The tabernacle of the congregation, that is speaking actually there of the holy place. And then the altar that is speaking about the court. Thus, it is actually all three parts, the entire tabernacle itself, that needs an atonement. And at the end of that year also, there needs to be made an atonement for the priests. At the end of that year, there needs to be a special atonement made for the people of the congregation. Thus, then we see the Lord requires an atonement for the most holy duties. The Lord requires an atonement from the children of Israel, an atonement actually for all their religion. Because even their religion that is unclean in the sight of that holy and that righteous God. To what is that day of atonement historically connected? We read it here. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. What does that speak of? That speaks about the holiness of the Lord. You remember, boys and girls, what the two oldest sons of Aaron did, Nadab and Abihu, how that they have been given that place in that priesthood from the Lord. And on that day, they have decided that they were going to do it their own way, that they were going to make an offering in their own time. And they have not followed the instructions of the Lord, but they have dared to approach unto the Lord with their own inventions. And the fire of the Lord, and that has proceeded out and that has slain those two sons of Aaron, that the Lord has spoken in the midst of his people. And that he has said that there is a holiness that is necessary in that approach of a man unto myself. And now it is in connection with this judgment that the Lord is speaking unto Moses and giving special instructions unto the high priest, unto his brother Aaron. And they are special instructions about how that Aaron is supposed to approach unto that holiness of the Lord. Because the Lord says here, "For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." Thus, that is not the cloud of incense, but that is what is referred to by the Jewish people as the Shekinah. That is the presence of the Lord that was visible above that mercy seat, where the Lord, he has appeared in his cloud. And the Lord said to Moses that Aaron, he must approach unto me once every year, only once. That was on that great day of atonement. But Aaron, he must come in a very, very special way. That he must come in a strictly prescribed manner, and that he must follow every direction of the Lord. No unclean person may approach unto the Lord. And even Aaron, in the office of his high priesthood, even he will come in a way not prescribed by the Lord, he shall die. No one may be in that tabernacle. No one may be in that holy place when that high priest once in the year is to go beyond that veil and enter into that actual presence of that Most High God. No, but that people, they were to be standing afar off. What do we see in it? We see, congregation, the imperfection of all of those Old Testament sacrifices. That there is not a complete atonement that is made through that law, through that ceremonial law. Because God is to them still a consuming fire. Paul writes to the Hebrews, Hebrews 9, "But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Thus, the Lord is declaring that there is an imperfection in all that Old Testament sacrifice. Aaron, he must approach that holy place in a way that is, humanly speaking, as holy as is possible. How is that signified? In the first place, he had to wash himself. That is, he had to wash his whole body, not as it was ordinarily, that they had to wash their hands and they had to wash their feet. But Aaron had to wash all his flesh. And then we read that Aaron had for this one service to put on very special clothing. Thus, he had not to wear the ordinary clothing of the high priest that was full of colors, which had their blessed meaning. But on this very special day, Aaron had to be completely clothed in white. That is, he had to have on his white breeches and his white coat, and then not that colored girdle that the ordinary priest would wear, but he had also to have a white girdle, and then he had to have a white mitre upon his head. What did that represent? That represented holiness. What did the Lord say? He said, these are holy garments. Actually, it says, these garments are most holy. That is a representation of the glory of the Lord. And we think, boys and girls, about the angels, and how that they have appeared by times unto men in this world in their shining white, in that holiness wherein they are standing before the Lord in his glory and in his majesty. And if we read in the book of Revelation, then we read how that John has seen the Son of Man himself, and how he has seen him shining. And even his head and his hairs, they were white like wool. We read they were white as snow. Thus Aaron, in these garments, and washed as he was, as he is a type of that greater high priest, as he is coming into that most holy place. And Aaron, as he is going in, then he is a representation of the hope of the children of Israel, and that looking forward to that high priest that was to come, that was able to enter into the presence of the Lord. There were many sacrifices on that great day of atonement. That was the end of that Sabbath year. There were regular sacrifices. And then there were special sacrifices, actually a whole series of grand expiatory sacrifices. They were multiplied. Why? We read in the Bible that was to awaken the consciousness of sin, Hebrews 10, You may read those two chapters this week, Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10, because they are speaking about that great day of atonement. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. The remembrance of again made of sins every year, that was pointing to the Day of Atonement. A remembrance of sins. How can that be? A remembrance of sins. You would say, if those sacrifices have been finished, then those sins, there is no more remembrance of them. But we read that they have to be multiplied in order that that sin is brought to remembrance again. What is that saying? The Lord, he speaks about the weakness of that law. And the very weakness of that Old Testament system of sacrifices that was displayed, even within that system itself, that was displayed upon that great day of atonement. And the reason for this was that people, they may not end there, but that people, they may look forward to another sacrifice. What was the first sacrifice that was brought? We read that was a bullock, a young bullock, that was for a sin offering. That sin offering that was for Aaron and his sons. Thus, that was the sin offering for the priests. That was at the end of the year. That was a sacrifice for the sins of the offices. The Lord, he says, that is necessary. Why? The Lord says the execution of those offices that is short, that is full of sin, that needs itself to be washed, to be forgiven, to be cleansed. That bullock that was offered in the court on that great brazen altar. And then the priest, the high priest Aaron, he would take the coals from that sacrifice, live coals from the altar, and he would bring those coals into that most holy place beyond the veil. And then he would take in his hand a handful of incense and place that upon the coals so that that holy place that would be filled with that cloud of incense. You know what that means already. That incense, that is a picture of prayer. And that incense that is covering, as it were, even that cloud wherein the Lord, he is appearing in that most holy place. And thus, that is a picture of the supplication that is ascending unto God, that is for the protection of Aaron and the people against the great wrath of God when he must look upon sin. And now that being done, Aaron, he is leaving that holy place And he is going back onto that brazen altar again. There he is to take of the blood that has come from that sacrifice. And he is entering once again in beyond the veil. And there he is to sprinkle that blood once upon the mercy seat and seven times before the mercy seat upon the ground. And thus, the priesthood was atoned. Then there was a second sacrifice, a second special sacrifice that is a little bit more complex. That sacrifice consisted of two parts. There were two goats, two little goats, kids of the goats. They were brought for a sin offering for the people. Both of those goats were presented before the Lord. And then Aaron had to cast lots upon those goats. One goat was for the Lord, and the other goat was what is called the scapegoat. And that scapegoat that was set aside for now, that was brought, actually, we read according to the custom, brought out by the people, and that was to stand facing the people. And now that goat that was for the Lord, that was sacrificed in the meantime upon that brazen altar in the court. Aaron is taking of that blood. He is going for a third time into that holy of holies. And there he is sprinkling some of that blood upon the mercy seat. And seven times once again for the people before that mercy seat. And then what do we read? We read it is an atonement. It is an atonement, we read, for the Holy of Holies because of the uncleanness of the priests, because of the uncleanness of the people. That has been that place that has been polluted because of their presence and because of their sin. That is the very dwelling of the Lord. With both that blood of that bullock and that blood of that young goat, Aaron, he also must make an atonement, we read, for the holy place. He comes out into that holy place. And there he comes by the altar of incense. And he is sprinkling blood on the four horns of that golden altar of incense. We read that Aaron, he must go out also into the court. And there he has to spread that blood upon the horns of the altar. And he is also sprinkling that blood upon the ground. Thus, it is all the three parts of that holy sanctuary of the Lord that are being cleansed. Because Paul later, he writes, almost all things are cleansed with blood. Thus, we read in our text, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. What does it signify? Oh, it signifies the testimony that is being made on that great day, first of the imperfection of all the Old Testament sacrifices, the imperfection of all their religion, the imperfection of all the priesthood that needed to be cleansed, and the sanctuary, and the people, when they have brought their gifts, when they have brought their offerings, and when they had not the right motive, and when they had not the right intention, and when they did not come immediately, and when they did not have an uprightness of heart, all then there were, we would say, the religious sins, the sins of the most holy duties. What does it speak of? Congregation, then it speaks about the forgiveness of all those sins. Everything, every last one that was left, everything that is short, everything that is imperfect, when they did come to the end of that year. But that is not all, because we still see that live goat. And that live goat, he is standing there, and he is facing the people, and he is waiting. What is he waiting for? He is waiting for a burden. He is waiting for a load. What do we read? And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. We are familiar with that. We have seen it before. But we have here another beautiful picture. Because, congregation, these two goats are one. It is not two offerings. No, it is one offering. But there are two things that would be shown by that offering. And thus, there is the other part. A blessed picture. At the very end of the year, all their transgressions, in all their sins, the priest confessed over that live goat on behalf of that people. And then that goat that was brought, we read, by a fit man into the wilderness, far away to a land not inhabited. Why? That he may never come back again. That he may never find his way back again. That he may never be seen again. And that he may perish in the wilderness. Oh, what do we see? We say, congregation, they are our two points. We see in it, in the first place, the defects. Or we see that there is still sin left after all those sacrifices, and that it is able to be placed on the head of that goat. But then we see something else. Or we see the hope. We see the hope of the children of Israel in that promise of the Lord, in that sacrifice that was soon going to come. Oh, see that devout Israelite when he is standing there among that people. Is he different from all the rest? That he has more sin? No. But then, congregation, for many it was a form. For many it was a custom. Is that for us too? To come and go from the house of the Lord. But for some it was different. Oh, see him standing there. He is quietly watching. He is reverently waiting. And he is listening. He is listening to the confession of that priest, that high priest, over the head of that goat. all his heart that is so one with it. When he may hear that confession, all their transgressions, in all their sins, that is now the experience of his heart. That is now the grief of his heart. That is now the burden of his heart. And now with all that is transpired in that year that is gone by, all then there is for him is still not that perfection. Why not? Because Paul says these have not received the promise. That means they have not received the fulfillment of the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that without us, they would not be made perfect. Oh, that will be a different time. See that man then standing there. Oh, when that sin that is placed upon the head of that goat. Oh, see that man standing there when he is watching as that goat he is led forth. And he sees him going further and further away. And he is watching until he cannot see that goat anymore. Oh, go with him in the thoughts, in the meditation of his heart, or when he may lean a little and by a true faith upon that promise of the Lord, and that one day he will send him who will take upon him all the sin and who will carry it away, who will bear it away so that it will never return again. Oh, Isaiah says, in that time and in that day, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. There shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. They shall not be found, for I will pardon whom I reserve. Let us sing 110, 1 and 3. In thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. 1 and 3 of 110. congregation, this week, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate together Good Friday. We hope to see that is now the counterpart to the great day of atonement. How meaningful was that great day of atonement to that devout Israelite? How is it now for us? How meaningful is Good Friday unto us? Say, I cannot give that to myself. You are right. But what was commanded to the children of Israel? They had to fast. They had to afflict their souls. What was the purpose of this? Because they are just like you and I. And that the Lord gave that to them as an outward means, where they also would stop and consider, that they would consider their sin, that they may consider the provision of the Lord. Are we called to fasting? No. Although we may fast. But congregation, the meaning, the spiritual meaning of that fasting that we are still called to, the Lord is sovereign. That is true. He works in whom He will. He works how and when He pleases. But that does not take away our great responsibility. And not only so, but the Lord adds a promise to it. The Lord says, seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. No, it is not received in the way of laziness, in the way of slothfulness. But Solomon, he says, drowsiness, and that shall clothe a man with rags. How many things are necessary in order that a man would be condemned in the court? Only one thing you have to do wrong, boys and girls, for the judge to condemn you. Why is that? Because of the standard of the law. What is that standard? What does the law require? Perfection. Perfection. Not one sin. That is because of the holiness of God. So that one sin, in deed, in word, in thought, that is sufficient to condemn us forever and forever. So that the only way that a man will ever enter into the presence of the Lord and into his communion is that every single sin is taken away. There cannot be one left. Is there a people who would take out of their life every sin? Does sin grieve you? That is what the Spirit is doing in the life of his children. That they would take away every sin if they could. What do they have to learn? That they cannot. Thus it goes in the way of death. It goes through the way of death, of dying to all my strength, of dying to all my ability. Why? Because when there is one left, then I will perish forever. The rich young ruler, he had much religion. It was commendable. Oh, could we be commended like that rich young ruler was commended? All these things, he said, have I kept from my youth up. But congregation, we think that we are going to cover over our sin. And with our religion, we are going to make up for it. But do you know what Isaiah said? He said, all our righteousnesses, they are as, what boys and girls? Filthy rags. Are there people that have to write congregation, that have to write sin upon everything? Are there people that have to write sin even upon all the religion? To write sin upon even their most holy duties? David, he says, I cannot speak without sin. He says, I cannot think without sin. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. The father of that lunatic, he said, I cannot believe without sin. O Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There is a people, they cannot listen without sin. And they cannot pray without sin. And they cannot worship without sin. No, Paul, he called it a body of sin. Everything was sin. And there are office bearers who cannot do their work either without sin. That you say sometimes, why did the Lord not provide angels to do this work, that holy work? But he did not. But do you know what he did provide? Sacrifice. A complete sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice that will remove every aspect of sin. that will remove the guilt of sin, that will remove the debt of sin, that will remove the pollution of sin, and that will remove every defect in their devotion and dedication unto God. That will remove everything that separates between God and their soul. Every aspect of sin. A sacrifice that will remove also every last sin. That sin that is committed even unwittingly, that we do not even know about, because we do not know our sin. And all that sin that is cleaving even to our most holy duties, a sacrifice that will remove all that sin in every aspect forever. Forever. Because Isaiah, he says, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And Micah, he says, "For thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea." All to be received by a true and living faith, by those who have come to the end of all their own ability to rid themselves of a single sin. A removal so complete that Aaron, that high priest, he may go on behalf of the people, and he may enter in behind the veil into that holy presence of God on behalf of the people. And it is true that that people, they stood afar off, but they were waiting. And they were looking forward to that time when the types and all the shadows, that they would flee away. And that that final sacrifice may be brought. We hope to commemorate it in this coming week. But is there now a people with a need? With a need for that sacrifice, because the Lord does not waste his grace. But the Lord is making room in the heart of his children. Oh, congregation, ask the Lord then. When we are approaching that day, ask the Lord for open eyes. Oh, that we may see even a little bit of our sin, that we may be given that blessed privilege, that we may see something of the imputation of that sin unto that great sacrificial lamb. Oh, that we may be given also to see how he has borne it away into the wilderness, so that it will never, never return again unto the people of the Lord. Because what does the Lord say? He says, "For your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more." Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can fathom the greatness of the blessings that thou art providing for a sinful man. O Lord, grant us open eyes. Grant us open ears. Grant us understanding hearts. Bring thy word into our hearts where we cannot bring it. Wilt thou look upon us further in this day? Be with us further in this afternoon. Help him that will read. And could it please thee to work this need, and that there may also be a receiving by a true faith and what thou revealest unto thy people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 363. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. From the depths do I invoke thee. Lord, to me incline thine ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 363. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless thee.